So yesterday, we flew down to Miami and did some University of Miami visitation, talked with some people and had lunch with them, and the ride down was okay until we almost got there, and then of course the weather really dictates how comfortable your ride is, especially in a small plane. And, you know, we left out of Gainesville. It was pretty good. And then we ran into some turbulence. Heat rises. I had a great day down there, and it was getting worse. And we just didn't know. I didn't know. I have faith in Sam's talent and what the Almighty has given him. And so I didn't worry about it. I've been in worse with him. So we took off out of Tamiami Airport, and we had to stay at 1,500 feet. If you got any higher, you were in it. So we just stayed at 1,500 feet, and at 1,500 feet, you get cell coverage in the airplane. You know, you get to 2,000, 2,500 feet, you start losing coverage. And, you know, we started out in Gainesville at 8,000 feet or 7,000 feet. Yeah, you're not going to text message, email, that's not going to work. So he maneuvered that plane in and out of the tough spots. We still had a couple of bumps, but it was, all in all, it was great. So when we went to leave Gainesville, he says, you ready? And for what? For tomorrow. You got your message? Nope. Got home, or actually got landed at Flying 10, and nope, don't have it. And I sat down, and I'm preparing the music and setting up the laptop. And how was it? Was it good? Yeah. I tell you what, if it wasn't for our Dynamite sound team and Jacob over there, they made it look good and sound good. I just put the puzzle together. So they did a great job. Thank you. Yeah. Don't blush, Joe. It'll be all right. And I got it all together. It was like 8:30, and I'm struggling to figure out, you know, what are we going to talk about? Well, you know, the music was telling me what the message was, and I wasn't listening. So finally, you know how stubborn men are, Rabbi? Oh, yeah. Not me. It started. So let me ask you a question. What is the meaning of the Hebrew word ruach? Wind. It's the Hebrew word for spirit, breath, or wind. When spoken, the word engages one's breath and lungs. The first mention of the Ruach, I don't want you to say anything, Rabbi. Where was it first mentioned? Yep. And the earth was formless and desolate, emptiness and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Ruach of Jehovah was hovering over the surface of the waters. Family, the Ruach is hovering over the surface of our lives. Just waiting to come in. But the Ruach is a perfect gentleman. He will not force his way into us. We have to ask. Amen? You have not because you ask not. Uh-oh. So the English Bible translates the word ruach into so many English words, which means that when we read our Bible, we may not always realize that in Hebrew, these verses have something very important in common. Ruach is described as wind, for example, in Bamidbar 11:31. And a wind went forth from Jehovah and brought quail from the sea and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and about a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits above the surface of the ground. That's some chow. Never go hungry that way. And in Shemot 10:13, and Moshe stretched out his rod over the land of Mitzrayim, and Jehovah brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. Morning came, and the east wind brought the locusts. But also, as spirit in Shoftim 6:34, then the spirit of Jehovah came upon Gideon, and he blew the shofar, and the Abiezerites gathered behind him. And in Samuel 1:16-14, 1 Samuel chapter 16:12-14, and he went and brought him in, and when he was ruddy, dirty, with bright eyes and handsome, and Jehovah said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. And the spirit of Jehovah turned aside from Saul, and an evil spirit from Jehovah troubled him. And in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 12, and it shall be as soon as I am gone from you that the spirit of Jehovah takes you away to a place I do not know. And I shall come to report to Ahab, and when he does not find you, he shall kill me. But I, your servant, have feared Jehovah from my youth. And then in Job, it's translated as breath. Chapter 12, 9 through 10. Who among all these does not know that the hand of Jehovah has done this? In whose hand is the life of all that live, and the breath of all mankind? The Ruach HaKodesh. But the meaning that we should really pay closest attention to is spirit. Because did you know that the Ruach HaKodesh, which appears already in the Tanakh, is the Hebrew word for the Holy Spirit? Yes, we do. For example, in Tehillim, Psalms 51:11, when David prayed, do not cast me away from your presence and do not take your Ruach HaKodesh from me. Similarly, Ruach Elohim means the Spirit of God. In many references in the Tanakh, the Ruach Elohim comes upon an individual and allows him to speak for Jehovah. In Bereshit 41:38, Pharaoh said to Moses, and Pharaoh said to his servants, could we find another like him? A man in whom is the spirit of Elohim? So what does this little portion tell you right there? It tells you that Jehovah the Father can use you in the presence of your enemy and speak through you in the presence of your enemy. Pharaoh was the enemy, but Pharaoh recognized. The Ruach Elohim was very present when the temple of Jehovah was built. Jehovah filled Bezalel with the spirit of Elohim, along with the ability, craftsmanship, and skill to execute the creative designs. Jehovah inspired all the artistry according to what he had in mind for his holy temple. Jehovah, the spirit of Elohim, was in Amelis when she created the perfect bow. She couldn't see it until the Ruach opened her eyes and showed her. He also said, I can make you perfect in the sight of man. In Shemot 31, 1 through 5, and Jehovah said to Moshe, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. And I have filled him with the spirit of Elohim, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all work, to make designs for work in gold and in silver and in bronze, and in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, and to do work in all work. This is repeated in chapter 35 by Moshe, but he puts his own details into it. Shemot 35, verse 30 through 35. And Moshe said to the children of Israel, see, Jehovah has called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Yehuda. And he has filled him with the spirit of Elohim in wisdom and understanding and in knowledge and in all work to make designs to work in gold and in silver and in bronze and in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood and to work in all workmanship of design. And he also put in his heart the ability to teach. In him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, he has filled them both with skill to do all the work of the engraver and the designer and the embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet material and in fine linen, a weaver doing all work and makers of designs. See, through all the years of the education system, Rabbi, it wasn't you sitting in that classroom absorbing. It was the Father showing you and filling you with his wisdom. You've done a lot of great things in this life for a lot of people. Many, many, many people. We can't even count all the lives that you have affected only because the wisdom of Adonai was in you. And we can only hope that, you can live forever.
His word forever. I speak his word now. Okay.
Yes. So the new covenant that Brit Hadashah mentions of Ruach, the very first one, was in Matityahu, chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. There is now the birth of Yeshua the Messiah. When his mother Miriam was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she was found to be pregnant by the Ruach HaKodesh. There are people in this room who long to have a child. We're going to have a breakthrough.
Amen.
And the Ruach HaKodesh is going to do it. Amen?
Amen.
Somebody's going to be a mother. Somebody's going to be a father. And there'll be some grandparents bouncing around in here pretty soon. Okay? So her husband-to-be, Yosef, was a man who did what was right So he made plans to break the engagement quietly, rather than to put her to public shame. But while he was thinking about this, an angel of Adonai appeared to him in a dream. And he said, "Yosef, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam home with you as your wife. For what has been conceived in her is from the Ruach HaKodesh." And if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't be standing here or sitting here or doing anything, really. If it wasn't for the birth of Yeshua, we wouldn't be able to go to the Father. Yochanan 14:25-27, Yeshua said, "I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything that I have said. What I am leaving with you is shalom. I am giving you my shalom. I don't give the way of the world, so don't let yourselves be upset or frightened." I believe that the leadership of this synagogue has been tasked with not hiding the truth. Amen. The truth of what's being perpetrated on us as a people, what's being perpetrated on us as a country, and what's being perpetrated on the fact that the enemy is in the camp. The enemy of Adonai is in the camp. And he has given the leadership the eyes and the wisdom to deal with it. So don't let yourselves be upset or frightened. Because Yeshua, he's coming, and he's coming quickly. Galatians 5:19-26. "And it is perfectly evident that the old nature does. It expresses itself in sexual immorality, impurity, and indecency, involvement with the occult and with drugs, in feuding, fighting, becoming jealous, getting angry, in selfish ambition, factionism, intrigue, in envy, in drunkenness, orgies, and in things like these. I warn you now, as I have warned you before, those who do such things will have no share in the kingdom of God." Be careful that somebody doesn't twist the definitions of any of these. Because they will twist the definition of these to satisfy their own lust, and will try to draw you in. "Oh, it's godly to do this, and it's, the Holy Spirit told me to do this." Well, you better check what Spirit's talking. Because if you're doing any of these things and you think you're doing something right, mm-mm. Woe unto you. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, self-control. Nothing in the Torah stands against such things. Moreover, those who belong to the Messiah Yeshua have put their old nature to death on the stake, along with its passions and desires. Since it is through the Spirit that we have life, let it also be through the Spirit that we order our lives day by day. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other." Listen, I don't have any more than you do. You don't have any more than I do. I don't envy anything you have. I don't envy anything that you want. Listen. I'm happy with my truck. I'm happy with my Toyota RAV4. Both of my vehicles have over 200,000 miles on them. I don't need anything new. I don't want your Cadillacs, your Lincolns, your Escalades, your whatever you got. I don't want it. I don't envy it. The Father's given me what I need. He's given my wife what she needs and our family. And He's given Cole Simca what we need. Amen. And we should desire more of Him, not more of the world. More of Him and not more of the flesh. More of Him and not more of the goods. It's hard to drive down the interstate and the billboards are just pushing this stuff on you. Oh, you got to have it. You deserve it. Yeah, okay, well, that's what they say with Virginia Slims. You've come a long way, baby. It killed them. You come a long way to die. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for the gadgets. Don't fall for the distractions. Because the distractions are coming more and more every day to try to draw you away from His presence. His Ruach HaKodesh. His love. His affection. He supplies all of my needs. The world has nothing that I would want. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. We're going to start flying with some scriptures, okay? Is that okay with y'all? Because I got 8 pages of them. And that's no lie. 1 Corinthians 6:15 through 20. Don't you know that our bodies are parts of the Messiah? So, am I to take parts of the Messiah and make them as parts of a prostitute? Heaven forbid. Don't you know that a man who joins himself to a prostitute becomes physically one with her? That doesn't need to happen with a prostitute. It can happen the first time, gentlemen. The first time that you do something out of wedlock. You have permanently left something of yourself. Correct. So young men in here, I only see, I got a couple. Keep pure. That's all I'm going to say.
How can a young man wait for a king and a courtier?
That's right. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So run from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the fornicator sins against his own body. Or don't you know that your body is a temple of the Ruach HaKodesh who lives inside you, whom you received from the Father? The fact is, you don't belong to yourselves, for you are bought with a price. So use your bodies to glorify God. If you feel weak, glorify God. He will make you strong. Keep your eye on the prize. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. But a branch will emerge from the trunk of Jesse. A shoot will grow from its roots. The spirit of Adonai will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and power, the spirit of knowledge and fearing Adonai, He will be inspired by fearing Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but he will judge the impoverished justly. He will decide fairly for the humble of the land. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips. Justice will be the belt around his waist, faithfulness the sash around his hips. I like that part. He will strike the land with a rod from his mouth and slay the wicked with a breath from his lips. You know, we got all these uppity-ups planning the destruction of the United States, of any other country that gets in its way. I know a lot of you are up on the news of Israel, but Iran tested an ICBM the other day. So now they have the means and they have the bomb. They have the means to transport it and they have it. So suddenly we're going to be with Israel and do something against Iran. Well, what do you mean suddenly? This administration has tried to back away from Israel and cause trouble. People in America with a lot of money, we won't mention any names because you already know who they are hell-bent on destroying Israel, period. Through civil unrest, through disobedience, through whatever. But I know for a fact, and it's in the Torah, that Israel's Abba will come to their rescue. And the rest of the world will just go, poof. Right? Acts chapter 1, 4 through 8. At one of these gatherings, he instructed them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which you heard about from me. For Yochanan used to immerse people in water, but in a few days you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. When they were together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? He answered, you don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under his own authority. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you. You will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in all of Yehuda and Shomron. Indeed, to the ends of the earth. We are his witness. We are the witnesses of the Ruach HaKodesh here in where we live. This is our utter ends of the earth, so to speak. This is the domain that Abba Father's placed us in. And we're not to be idle. We're not to sit around and bask in the sun, hope to get a tan, sit around our pools. I have one, so I can say that. And do nothing with what he's given us. If people like our neighbors fall, it's our fault. Because we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. And if we loved our neighbors as ourselves, we wouldn't want them to be destroyed. We would want to see them in the same place we're going. in the presence of Jehovah, basking in His glory. Instead, some of us just keep silent. Kind of hoard what we have. And yes, you may, your words may fall on deaf ears. But the deaf ears won't hear it if you don't say it. Okay? It won't happen. So it's up to you. The parable of the sower. Sow your seed. Your responsibility to sow the seed. It's His responsibility to do the harvesting. Luke chapter 11, 11 through 13. Is there any father here who, in his son, asks him for a fish, but instead of a fish, you give him a snake? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? So, if you, even though you are bad, know how to give your children gifts that are good, how much more will the Father keep giving the Ruach HaKodesh from heaven to those who keep asking Him? Yeah, we may falter, we may have a pity party, or we may do something stupid. Men, people. But Abba is waiting for you to ask. And it says right there, He'll keep giving it. Back to Yochanan 16, 5 through 15. But now I am going to the one who sent me. Not one of you is asking me, where are you going? Instead, because I have said these things to you, you are overcome with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the comforting counselor will not come to you. However, if I do go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will show that the world is wrong with is wrong about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. About sin, in that people don't put their trust in me. About righteousness, in that I'm going to the Father, and you will no longer see me. About judgment, in that the ruler of this world has been judged. I will have many things to tell you, but you can't hear or can't bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, the Ruach HaKodesh, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but shall say only what He hears. And He will also announce to you the events of the future. He will glorify me because He will receive from what is mine and announce it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I said that He receives from what is mine and will announce it to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 14 through 18. What is more, their minds have been made stone-like. For to this day, the same veil remains over them when they read the Old Covenant. It has also not been unveiled because only by the Messiah is the veil taken away. Yes, till today, whenever Moshe is read, the veil lies over their heart. But, says the Torah, whenever someone turns to Adonai, the veil is taken away. Now, Adonai in this text means the Spirit. For where the Spirit of Adonai is, there is freedom. For all of us with the faces unveiled see as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we are being changed into His very image from one degree of glory to the next by Adonai the Spirit. That's why we pray that the Father would remove the blinders from our family and our brothers and sisters, from the Jewish people. Father, Remove the blinders so they can look upon the one whom they have pierced. Let them see. Let them see their salvation. Let them call out to their salvation. We would not want to perish. Romans 15:7-16. So welcome each other just as the Messiah has welcomed you into God's glory. For I say that the Messiah became a servant of the Jewish people in order to show God's truthfulness by making good his promise to the patriarchs, and in order to show his mercy by causing the Gentiles to glorify God, as it is written in the Tanakh. Because of this, I will acknowledge you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again it says, Gentiles, rejoice with his people. And again, praise Adonai, all Gentiles. Let all the peoples praise him. And again, Yirmiyahu says, the root of Yishai, Jesse, will come. He who rises to rule the Gentiles, Gentiles will put their hope in him. May God, the source of hope, fill you completely with joy and shalom as you continue trusting, so that the power of the Ruach HaKodesh may flow and overflow with hope. Now, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, and well able to counsel each other. But on some points I have written you quite boldly by way of reminding you about them, because the grace of God has given me to be a servant of Messiah Yeshua for the Gentiles with the priestly duty of presenting the good news of God so that the Gentiles may be accepting favor made holy by the Ruach HaKodesh. Titus 3:30-7. For at one time we too were foolish and disobedient, deceived and enslaved by a variety of passions and pleasures. We spent our lives in evil and envy. People hated us and we hated each other. But when the kindness and the love of mankind of God, our deliverer, was revealed, he delivered us. Thank you. I was not on the ground of any righteous deeds we had done, but on the ground of his own mercy. He did it by means of the mikvah of rebirth and the renewal brought about by the Ruach HaKodesh, whom he poured out on us generously through Yeshua the Messiah, our deliverer. He did it so that by his grace we might come to be considered righteous by God and become heirs with a certain hope of eternal life. Thank you, Father. And finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, the Spirit expressly states that in the end days, some people will apostatize from the faith by paying attention to deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come from the hypocrisy of liars whose own consciousness have been burned as if with a red hot branding iron. Do not let me tickle your ears. If I start tickling your ears, you throw something at me because I'm not in the right place. We're not here to tickle each other's ears. We're here to prepare each other for what's coming. We're here to prepare each other for the Ruach HaKodesh, which we pray will fall upon each one that comes tomorrow for a mikvah, for change, to receive what he has for us, each individually his own or her own. The Father knows what exactly to give you. All you have to do is ask. These scriptures have told you that. So ask. Again, you have not because you ask not. And tomorrow, ask. And he will give it to you. Amen? That's it. That's all I got. 1 o'clock. Let's see. Joe, Stephanie?
As I was preparing for tomorrow, and John has eloquently said that, I can't help but remember when Jessica and Elizabeth came to the water. And Elizabeth came first. She was way ready. Jessica wouldn't leave. She kept kind of swimming around, and she came, just came up, and said, "I'm ready now." Last year, you didn't really get to hear a lot of what was said, so we did. We did. The ones that were on the water, some are right here. Joe was there. John and Sam. Gene, you weren't? I was there. I thought that last year, the Lord empowered us to speak directly into people's lives. I said so there. I want you to know that when we spoke at Jessica's memorial, we were speaking the truth of what happened. Now, Jessica came to the mikvah waters. She was changed. It may not have shown externally right away, but it did show. Our mom said so. And our mom's a very discerning person and doesn't just speak baloney. So I want to ask us a question. Are you guaranteed your future? Did we know last year at Mikvah that, did we know what? Did we know the future? Did we know that? We were encouraged by her coming, but because it didn't really necessarily show immediately, you know, wondered, well, did the Lord speak correctly? Did he tell us correctly? But he did. But he did, because what was said in her funeral was that she went to help somebody else was the one who paid the price. To help somebody else. Why? To help more than just somebody else. Because even the gentleman does. She was there to help. She paid the price. The thing about it is that a year ago at this time, the parents were, "Lord," and then in February, this grief, it was grief for Marilyn's brother. But God was so faithful that we know about a lot of our deaths the ones that didn't look were going to even come close to make it, made it. So I want again to ask you, how much time do we have? Every year we try to instill on everybody that the necessity of the absolute importance of having a full measure of the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to say that some people took advantage last year. Some people did, and their lives were changed. Not because I said something, or Joe said something, or as a matter of fact, for years and years, Joe has been one of the ones who had a lot of prayer. And last year he had to fight to get his place because everybody else had something to say. And we happily, Joe and I have been doing this a long, long time, happily saw that the Lord use the leadership of the congregation to speak truth to people. My last statement. Jessica said, when she came around, I'm looking towards the shore. That's where I was. And she goes around like that. It's hard for my corner of my eye. Came and stood right there, waiting for the one that we were doing at that point. That one left. She stood up and said, I'm ready now. That's what she said. That's okay. Are you ready now? Let me say that again. Are you ready now? If you never ask, you're not going to get. If you don't step in faith into the situation where God is, you're not going to get, my friends, my brothers and sisters. We're not guaranteed anything. So, whatever situation you're in, and if you're a child, probably from 12 and above, I'm speaking to you too, by the way. I'm just talking to the bunch of old ones here. I think that we ask not, and we don't ask because we get just mired into the stuff. Well, listen, I have seen in this last few months, I have seen some people that there was no way that I could reach in any way. There, I've seen miracles. Wow. The power of the Ruach HaKodesh is what we need. The missing ingredient right now for us as a congregation is how much of the Ruach HaKodesh have we put in there? Did we expand the vessel big enough for him to come in? And if we expanded it only this big about 10 years ago, could we not expand it to this big and do it this year? Is it once and done? Did Yeshua only go through the mikvah of John? Think about it. Because he had to undergo mikvah every time he went into a synagogue or if you don't believe me, go to Israel and look at the synagogue where this is being talked about. And it's an excavation there, and the entrance has a mikvah. So it's, you know, the science is telling you, hey, there was a mikvah there that everybody had to go through to go in. Did you think he didn't? Oh, he went, okay. Did he need to? Well, actually, yes, he said so. I mean, he said, suffer. He told John, suffer, that this needs to be done. And I'm going to do it. So the young people use the word a challenge. Let me challenge us one more time. I don't know what next year holds. I don't know what 6 months from that not holds. I don't know how much more time do I have. I become aware as the years go by that in the 70s, you realize, hey, the distance could be short. We don't know. Don't waste any more time. If you're not really sure, then just go to the mikvah water and say, Lord, I'm not sure. I don't really know what I'm doing here. But do something and let him do it. And I assure you, I'm not even going to be there. It's not the plan, that's at least. But I know that. And so take advantage. It's not just a dunk in the water. It's the opportunity to truly have the ingredients necessary for what is coming. Whether you put away food or put away money or whatever, all those things pass. But the Spirit of God does not pass. And if anything that he said as he read those scriptures is the absolute necessity of us having the mikvah of the Holy Spirit. That just it's clear as mud, right? Clear as you can get any more clear. And again, I challenge all of us because we, by the traditions of men, have assigned certain things of God a once and done kind of thing. The once and done I got saved. And once and when the description of being saved is working your salvation daily. I mean, I didn't make that up. It's in the Bible. Or waiting, those that endure till the end, the same shall be saved. So the words associated with salvation, while yes, I came to the Lord and it's forever. The problem is I didn't stay in that mindset. I didn't stay in that. Whenever that was in 19. Want it again. And get it again. If peradventure one of you that would not have would step in there and receive it, my words were well spent. The leadership of the congregation is absolutely ready to pray for you and to intercede with you, and to speak with you, and to let God speak. Just ask John.
So we have to share. And so let you tomorrow see. Let your hands with along with the others like it has all these years. Let this year be different in Yeshua's name.
May it be so.